Hi everybody, the complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions. And tonight I want to talk a little bit about the importance of viewing life's situations through the lens of logic. This, you might say, well, this is just common sense, but it's really a lot more than that. Because I feel like I use common sense, you know, daily, but I think there's a lot of situations where we might be viewing things from a very emotional standpoint. And I think a lot of times, if you have complex PTSD from your childhood, this would increase. And that's my opinion. But I think that would highly increase. And I'm going to explain how I think it has played a huge role in my adult life. So I'll start out by saying that I'll just give the definition of what I found online for logic. Logic is the study of correct reasoning or good arguments. It is often defined in a more narrow sense as the science of deductively valid inferences or of logical truths. So that's logic. So basically, you know, we all probably know what logic really is, I just wanted to read that definition there. And I'm going to talk about how to increase your mental capacity to think more logically, because a lot of times if we're thinking emotionally, we're not always using our frontal lobes as much as we should. And a way to activate your frontal lobe, by the way, the frontal lobe is responsible for planning, organization, logical thinking, reasoning, and managing emotions. So again, if we're thinking emotionally, by activating your frontal lobe, you're going to be able to manage your emotions better. And the way to activate it, the way to activate your frontal lobe is by doing word games, memory games, and puzzles. And that's really important. And that's one thing that I've started doing more often. And I actually try to do it every night. Sometimes I don't do it every night, and you don't have to do it every night. But the more you do it, the more you're going to be activating that frontal lobe. I usually put about four or five different types of word games, reading materials, next to where I sit each evening. It helps to actually create a physical space in your home for yourself to do that. This is something I also do for my workout equipment. I have it sitting out where I'll actually use it, so I'm doing the same thing for, you could say, the workout of my mind. For my frontal lobe, I have these word games and reading materials out where I'll actually use them. I have a word search puzzle, like crossword puzzles. Also, I really come to like Sudoku. I always wondered what Sudoku was, and now I know because I've been doing it. I also have two study books that focus on basically dissecting statements that people make and using reason to understand them better. So you could do that on its own, like take a philosophical statement, you know, from whatever philosopher and really dissect just one sentence that they say and what they're really saying and what they mean. I would even include word games that you might see on television in the word game category, such as Wheel of Fortune or watching. I know that there's a television network called the Game Show Network. There's one particular game show on there called America Says, and that's a really good example because it's words that you're trying to figure out what goes in what category. So like if they say, you know, French artists, or that's, I'm just making something up, or if you say things that you find in a living room and they throw up the first letter of words and then you figure out what they are. But I would say crossword puzzles would be better, and Sudoku would also be better. You could also do math problems, that's another thing, or read like a logic and math, books that incorporate logic and math, or logic games that you see on YouTube. That's actually where I started mine. You'll see a lot of LSAT stuff, so like the lawyers, the big tests that lawyers take, that's a really good example. There's tons of logic in an LSAT test. And I've looked through LSAT tests before, and I'm definitely not somebody that would ace an LSAT test. That's more than I would even want to engage with. But just picking a few things out of an LSAT test is a good example of how to increase your frontal lobe activity. And I'm going to give just a short little example here of a field that I used to see from an emotional perspective to help kind of make sense of some of this. So growing up and in my early 20s, I was very interested in what I would see on TV in relation to politics. Because for one reason, I'm a very visual person. And whenever I'd watch, you know, any news channel, that's what I knew about politics. So once I got to college and I was going into for my bachelor's, I wanted to take a political science class. I actually wanted to take one. I still had one, I think, required that I had to do during my bachelor's. And I thought I would easily get an A in this political science class, and I was totally wrong. Because on like a higher level, political science was actually about the nuts and bolts of being in the field of politics. It was sort of about how does a bill that's in Congress become a law, that type of stuff. It's not what you see on TV. What you see on TV is called political posturing. It's political theater. It's also got the nickname Kabuki, K-A-B-U-K-I. That's like a official name, Kabuki. I think I'm pronouncing that right. So now whenever I see, you know, these so-called news channels, I just think of Kabuki. It's a bunch of Kabuki. It's political theater. A lot of our media does this intentionally, whether they admit to it or not. It's emotional media. It's Kabuki. I don't see politics the way I used to. I now see it for what it is when you see it on TV. You get a lot more facts and less theater. Sometimes, I would say a lot of times when you read maybe a newspaper, but not always. Newspapers can be just as much theater as what you see on TV. Back to thinking emotionally, a lot of this goes back to the part of our brain called the amygdala. It's a part of our brain that senses threats. So if you grew up with, you know, trauma, your brain is like on this heightened sense of alert from your amygdala is like warning you even when something's not actually a threat. So you're thinking emotionally. This goes back to that survival mode approach to life. You're really more reacting to life events based on threat levels. You aren't living from a logical standpoint. And that's why this logical stuff is so important for people like us. People whose brains have been affected since we were kids by trauma. The way this related to my personal life, outside of television and watching political theater, the way this related to my personal life is that because I had struggled with severe depression for so long, mostly in my teenage years and adult life, because I had struggled with severe depression for so long, which I think all stems from my trauma growing up and how that led to my own inability to cope with life situations, it really created a brain fog for me that would come and go for all of my adult life. Some months were terrible and some months were better, but really until just recently, the last couple of months, I didn't think it would ever end. I didn't think my depression and my suicidal tendencies, which were really just thoughts, I didn't think that was ever going to end, folks. I thought that would go on until I was 80 years old. And I really feel like I found this like solution to it, which I'm fascinated by. So some months were terrible and some were better. And again, I didn't think it would ever end. This would cause me at times to have severe doubts about my future. It would make me want to use substances to cope. It would make me want to isolate from people, and it caused intense hopelessness, which only led to more depression or feelings of taking my own life. So the whole emotional thinking and the depression that went on for so long, this all would lead to these horrible things that I struggled with for so many years. And when you're in that state, whenever I was in that state, I would usually become impulsive, irrational, and do anything to either get myself out of the depression, which usually involves spending money, like going to the movies or, you know, eating, going out to eat, shopping, whatever it was, that always like got it off my mind. It got the depression off my mind, spending money in some way. But that just led to more feelings of more hopelessness because I would end up spending more than I should and draining my bank account. This is all an emotional response, and I did that for years. And I honestly did not know how to view life from a more logical perspective that was long-term. I guess you could say I did not have long-term hope. I didn't have any way of seeing long-term hope. A big part of this was also related to my fourth rule. So I recently, in the last four or five podcasts, have been talking about these four rules to life that I came up with for myself. And I'm going to keep living by them because they are really working. So a big part of this was related to my fourth rule. And this is my own opinion here, but it helped me reverse this horrific mindset that was so toxic. My fourth rule is that there is no such thing as the traditional concept of job security. That is a myth, and this is my opinion. I know I have talked about this quite a bit recently, but it really works, so that's why I'm repeating it. It really works to see it this way and to remember that it's not about what job you think will make you secure. It is about planning for the tough times that are always going to be a part of your life here and now, here and then. At some point, every single person will have tough times in their life. It's about planning for them. A few key things that go with this are having friendships based on mutual interests and trust. Maintaining sobriety is also important because others will need to rely on you, just like you will need to rely on them, and they won't rely on you if they think you're not sober. They won't trust you. Another key flaw about the concept of job security is that it tends to lead to feelings of resentment because so many people feel left out of the know on how to achieve job security. But as I said before, even the best neighborhood handyman could be out of work if a major recession were to hit and people can no longer afford to use his or her services. So, you know, any job, that could happen to any job. That's why I say job security is a myth. It's only, planning for the tough times that are just a part of every single person's life. And that doesn't have to be a negative. You know, the tough times can be a positive because they remind you to plan for things. But back to my point, it's logic that we need to increase, especially since if you are like me, you have trauma from childhood and you grew up with complex PTSD. That meant your cognitive abilities were already interfered with and you already had memory. You already had struggles with memory and, in my opinion, learning issues growing up. It makes sense that you would view life from an emotional viewpoint. By regularly doing logical games, such as word games, Sudoku, reading up on problem solving, game shows like, you know, Wheel of Fortune, anything that's a word game, or a puzzle, anything to do with logic and reasoning, these things increase our frontal lobe's ability to plan, organize, think logically, reason, and manage emotions. I think that last one is the most important in relation to this topic, today's podcast, manage emotions. The same logical approach can, of course, be used in relation to my first three rules, approaching relationships from a logical standpoint and not an emotional one, approaching threats from a logical standpoint, approaching the way you communicate. Again, not gossiping. That's just one thing I talk about. Not gossiping or getting in unnecessary drama on social media. Stopping yourself and stepping back and saying, what does this do for me? Because it really only creates drama. That's one reason I stopped several of my social media outlets. But you can still, I'll still engage with a few here and there if it's in a logical, non-emotional way. Another thing that I think this relates to in like the modern world is I just feel like there's a lot of little, I don't know if you want to call them groups, or I feel like there's a lot of emotional stuff happening, at least in this country, and maybe it's everywhere. And if there's some type of little group or something out there that's throwing emotions at you, saying, fight for this or do that. And it's all like getting onto your emotions. It's like pulling at your emotions. In my opinion, always think logically and say, what is the background of this? You know, who is funding this? What is the background? You know, what's the history of this thing that is trying to get me involved with it? Because I feel like that's happening a lot lately. I'm being a little bit broad here because I don't want to, again, get into politics. But anything that is, this could be a person too. So like, let's say you're working with someone and they're just emotions, 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 you know, and they're really wanting you to engage with them, like almost gossip with them, or they're trying to like kind of pull you in to something that maybe you love to do or you love to talk about, but you know it's not good for you. You could almost say it's like a little, you know, bad influence. So you always want to ask, like, what's the background? What's the intention? That's a key thing. What's the intention? But I feel like that really relates to all of that. You always just want to think logically. And I think just thinking emotionally for so many years and viewing things so differently, I just can't tell you how much it's helped me in a very short amount of time. And again, you could just say, well, this is like common sense stuff. I don't know that it's just common sense. I think it's a lot deeper than that. It's just something huge because, like, for me personally, you know, growing up and having such toxic people around me who really were bad for me, and I didn't really realize how bad they were for me until I was in my 30s, how actually really bad they were for me. And they've always been in my life, you know, having this kind of logical viewpoint of how unhealthy it was, it's very refreshing to see it from a more logical standpoint. And doing these, you know, crossword puzzle, word games, any type of logical thinking, I'd have to say the one that sums it all up best would be an LSAT test. Studying for an LSAT, even though you're not going to take an LSAT test, I just think maybe that's basically the best thing to kind of refer back to. But logical thinking is, I think, what the whole world needs more of. But that's most of what I want to share for tonight. I'm rambling a little bit here. So this is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.